We're doing the Book of Yoel. We'll dedicate our learning this morning to Chaya Sara Bat Yosef. Yoel has been describing a great plague, a plague of locusts that was greater than the plague in the time of Paro, because there were a few different types of locusts attacking. Gazam, Arbe, Yelek, Chasil. And the Navi had been describing how everything's going to be destroyed. There's going to be no wine. There's going to be no crops. There's going to be no fruits or vegetables or grain. There's going to be no bread. And we left off. The Navi had said, "Ahal ayom, woe to the day." He wails, "Ki karov yom Hashem uchashod mishada yavo." The day is near. It's like a plundering, like a group of bandits came from God, and they're God's emissaries, so they're going to succeed. We started noticing last week the poetic form that Yoel takes on, the words that sound similar, and we'll continue seeing that throughout the book. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Hallo neged einenu ochel nichat mi beit Eloheinu simcha vagil. Yoel says, we see it's going to be opposite our eyes. Halo neged einenu. We're going to see how the locust destroys everything. Ochel nichat. The food's going to be cut down. Mi bet Eloheinu. And so too, it's going to be cut down from the house of our God. Simcha vagil, happiness and rejoicing, because there the happiness we know from the book of Shoftim was always done with the pouring of wine. The Levim would sing song together with the Nisuch Hayayin. So if the Navi just told us there's going to be no wine to libate in the temple, if there's no wine, you'll have no singing, no Shirat Alvim. So he says even from the temple, there's going to be no singing, no happiness. Aveshu Ferudot Tachat Migrifoteim Nashamu Otzarot Neosu Mamegurot. You see the play on words? Ferudot, Megrifot, Otzarot, Megurot. Same form, same grammatic form. So the Navi says, all the wine is going to go sour. Aveshu is like Meupash. Ferudot are the flasks of wine. Tachat megrifoteihim. Under, the Targum translates it as under their seal, under their cover. They'll have wine stored, so they'll assume the locust won't get to it. The Navi says, no, that wine will also go sour. There's going to be a shortage of wine, and that's going to cause that the wine will also go rotten. Nashamu otzarot, the storage houses of wine, the cellars will go desolate. Nehersu ma megurot. Megurot are the place where you store grain, the silos. So nehersu, they're going to be destroyed. Ki hovish dagan, because the grains will also rot. Hashem will cause everything to rot, be it the wine that you have stored or the grains. People shouldn't assume, oh, we can handle a year of locust because we have storage houses. It's like when Obama was running for president, so someone told me from America, he said, the United States can handle an Obama presidency. It's, you know, okay, 4 years, nothing too terrible could happen. We can handle that. Sometimes people assume, you know, so we'll have a bad year, the economy will go sour, I can handle that. Hashem says, no, don't rely that's going to happen. I'm not going to leave the food you have in storage houses either. The Gemara discusses, what did they eat? The Gemara discusses that they ate from the cracks in the walls, they took whatever crumbs they could find. The Gemara discusses year after year what they're eating, to the point where they're eating the feces of their animals. There was real famine. Manencha vehema navochu edrei vakar כי אין מראה להם. How the animals are going to sigh. The cattle is going to be troubled because they're going to be confused. They have nothing to graze on. They have nothing to eat. The locust will consume all the greenery. גם עדרי הצאן נשמו. The sheep too will go desolate. They're going to be destroyed. They'll have nothing to eat. אלך אדוני אקרא כי אש אכלה נאות מדבר ולהבה ליאתה כל עצי השדה. I call out to you, the Navi says. He's davening. On the one hand, he's prophesizing of the great destruction. On the other hand, he turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, help him out. I daven to you, Hashem, ki eish achila neot midbar. For a fire, it's as though the fire has consumed the tents of those grazing in the desert, being that there's nothing for the sheep to eat. So why should people go out in the desert? Remember, people used to cross the deserts to go to oases for the cattle, for the sheep to eat. And it's as though the tents have been destroyed and there's no purpose in going out to graze the sheep. And it's as though the fire has consumed all the trees of the field. It's as though a great fire has destroyed everything that when the locust will pass. The animals of the field, the wild animals of the field. The word behima usually means domesticated animal, but behima also encompasses the chaya, the wild animals. When the Torah wants to tell us which chaya is permissible to eat, the Torah begins by saying, zot behima shel tochelu. And then it enumerates the chayot. So we have on tradition that the word behima incorporates behima and chaya. So the Navi says, the wild animals of the field, they don't rely on the human grazing, the human being taking them out to graze, to eat. And they too, they automatically prey on their prey. Nonetheless, they too will call out to you because they'll have no water. They also need the water. So at the same time that Hashem brought locusts, Hashem also made a drought so that they were hit from both ends. They lost all their food and they lost all their water. They no longer had rivers flowing. So the wild animals of the field also ta'arog eilecha, they call out to you, ki yaveshu afi kemayim, because the places where the water flows strongly, they too have dried out. Ve'esh achela ne'ot hamidbar, and the fire has consumed the tents of the desert. Because no one's going out to graze their sheep because they know there's nothing left for the sheep to graze. So it's as though the fire has consumed the tents of the desert. No one's even looking for food for their cattle because they know they're not going to find any. So he refers to that metaphorically as the fire consumed the tents of the desert. He doesn't really mean a fire. He means the plague of locusts and the drought that made it pointless to go out and find and look for grazing for the sheep. So the Navi is warning us. And the Navi's warning was very serious and it came true. The Gemara describes how there was really a terrible drought and a terrible attack of locusts. And then, says the Navi,
When was that?
The Gemara seems to understand all of this came true in the end of the period of the first temple. The Gemara says there was Yoel, there was Yeshaya. There were a few Nevi'im who overlapped, and the Gemara seems to say this all came true in time towards the end of the first Beit HaMikdash.
Which is like 400 years, 500 years later after this was...
Right, so written. if Yoel lived in the time of Shmuel, he's prophesizing about something later. The Gemara in Tanis, learns that Yoel lived in the time of the end of the first Beit HaMikdash together with Yeshaya. Mm-hmm. Meaning not everyone agrees to that understanding that this is the Yoel, the son of Shmuel. Now, I don't know if you say this is the Yoel, the son of Shmuel, if you could say that this plague happened 400 years earlier. It doesn't seem that way. You know, he's saying it never happened before, it's never going to happen again. It seems like it happened once. So the simple understanding is that this is not the son of Shmuel, this Yoel. This is Yoel, the Navi Yoel, who lived in the time of Yeshaya. תיקו שופר בציון. Blow the shofar in Zion, a sign that people should do tshuva before the destruction comes. Ve'ariyu ve'ha'al kodshi. And blow it trua on my holy mountain. Yugizu kol yoshevei ha'aretz. They should tremble in fear, all the inhabitants of the land. Ki va yom Adonai ki karov. For the day of God is coming, the day of Hashem's reckoning, Hashem's punishment is close. Yom choshech va'afela. It's a day of darkness. It is a day of fog. Yom yom anan va'arafel. A day of cloud, a day of mist. Keshachar parus al harim. Just like when you have the darkness of the early morning spread out over the mountains, so you're going to see this huge cloud coming of darkness, and it's not a cloud. It's the millions of locusts that are attacking that come. Looks like a cloud in the distance, but it's no cloud. It's the darkness of the plague of locusts coming. A nation that is great and awesome. Kamo lo niya min ha'olam ve'acharav lo yosef ad shenei do vador. There was never anything like this, and there's never again going to be anything like this for generations. Hashem says, this is the worst plague of locusts in world history. And who's going to get it? We. Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. Now, how do you compare that to the locust by Paro, where Moshe also said, there was never a plague like this, and there never again will be a plague like that? So Rashi tells us, Rashi says it in our parsha, Rashi says it here, there it was one type of locust. There was never so many of one type of locust attacking. And this was worse because this was five types of locusts. So in that regard, this was worse. I'm with you.
Somewhere it says that, isn't there like a promise that we won't be afflicted like the Egyptians were, you know, with those sort of plagues?
Next week's parasha.
Right.
And what does it say? It says a condition.
If
you listen to the Torah, then all the diseases, all the plagues I placed on Egypt, I won't place on you.
There's another way. To the person who suffered from the plague, what does it matter if there's five locusts or one locust? If all his greenery is being destroyed or eaten up. So to him, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's like hard to understand the answer. If both of them are saying this is the worst and there'll never be anything like it, so it seems like a stira. I understand your answer, but it's still a problem.
No, I hear you. You're saying from our perspective, what do we care? I guess the question is to understand the term. You're right. In terms of both of them, everything was destroyed. The question is, what was God saying? From our perspective, right. We don't either care if 10 generations ago they had the same thing. It doesn't really matter to us. If we have no more food, we have no more food. You know, I guess the idea is, what was God saying? When Hashem said it never happened before, never happened again, you could only say that once, and God said it twice. So the question is, what did Hashem mean? But I guess from our perspective, it doesn't really make a difference. If we understood deeply, then we'd understand the meaning of why the Egyptians had Dafka Albe, and we had these four or five types of locusts. That has meaning too, but go figure, I don't know. I don't know where it's discussed why. There was an aspect of Midah Keneged Midah for us and for them. But that's already on a deeper level, I don't know. So this plague is going to come and destroy Lefanav Achela Eish. Like a fire that comes, the Navi describes it as though a fire will come before them and destroy, and behind them there will be a flame destroying. כי גן עדן הארץ לפניו. Before this plague came, the land was like the Garden of Eden. ואחריו מדבר שממה. And behind the plague, after the plague, it's like a desolate desert. וגם פלטה לא הייתה לו. And there'll be no escape. He won't leave anything behind. They'll destroy everything. כמראי סוסים מראיהו. He's running swiftly like horses. These locusts are flying in at high speed. Like soldiers on horses, that's how they'll run to come to destroy. You think your only threat is the enemy? Well, Hashem says, no, I'm going to send a different type of enemy. I'm going to send my soldiers to come and destroy. They're going to come swift like horses. They're going to come powerful like cavalry, like the soldiers on horses. Kekol markavot, like the sound of chariots coming to attack. Al rashei ha'arim yirakedun, that the chariots as they bounce on the mountains running towards war. Kekol lahavish, like the crackles of a fire destroying. Ochel ha'akash, as it consumes the straw. Kam atzum eruch milchama. It's going to be like a huge nation who's well prepared for war. That's what it's going to be like when the locusts attack. Mipanav yachilu amim. And this nation is so strong. Other nations are scared. They live in fear of this nation. Hashem is comparing the locust like a tribe, a nation that's on the attack. Hashem is saying other nations are scared of this attack because the truth is they can't stand up to it. Kol panim kibitzu faru. Everyone gathers in darkness. Faru is really a pot. But in their days, they placed the pots on the fire. So when you wanted to say dark as charcoal, you'd say dark as the pot because their pots were black. So he says, kol panim, all faces kibitzu are gathered. Faru, like the bottom of a pot. Their pots were directly on the fire. Their fires were wood fires, so their pots were black. These enemies are going to run like brave warriors, like men of war. They'll come up like a unified front, like a wall is coming to attack. Dish bidrachav yelechun velo yabetun orechotam. Everyone will go on their direct path. They're not going to go in a zigzag in confusion. They're coming straight ahead to destroy. Veishachiv lo yidchakun. And it's like an army that's well greased. They know how to fight together. No one pushes the other one. They're all on the attack and they're all doing well together. Gevel bimsilato yelechun. Each one goes on his path. Uve'ad hashelach yipolu lo yivtza'u. And they'll be willing to lie on the sword. And they won't be cut. Uve'ad hashelach. Shelach is a sword. Metu shelach was given that nickname because he died and they buried him with a sword. Met v'shelach biyado. He had a sword that he killed demons with, the Medrash says. So when he died, they buried him with that sword. And that's why he was given their nickname. Mitu shelach. That wasn't his real name. It was met v'shelach biyado. When he died, he still had the sword in his hand. So uve'ad ha'shelach. And with the sword, yipolu lo yivtzau. They could gather. Yipolu could sometimes mean to gather in peace. Nofilim, al pnei cholechav nafal, lipol in Hebrew could mean to fall, lipol could mean to settle down. So uve'ad ha'shelach yipolu, they live with the sword, lo yivtzau, and they don't get themselves cut. The locusts are going to climb all over your swords, you won't be able to do anything to them. Your standard practices, your standard tools that you go to war with, this is a nation you can't win with those tools. So the Navi is saying, I'm sending an army where you could pick up a sword. It's not going to help you any. They could live with the sword. Ba'il yashoku.
I don't understand. What is Livtsa?
Livtsa is to break. To break bread is called Livtsa Lachem. So they stay with the sword and they don't find themselves breaking. They don't get cut. The locust will climb all around your sword. It's a way of mocking the strength. You think you have an army. You think you could take on the enemy. Hashem says, I'll send you an army that will dance around your weapons and you won't be able to touch them.
And here translation, do not receive monetary gain.
Okay, that's another understanding. That's Rashi's understanding. There are three understandings here that I know of in the Pasuk. One understanding is, lo yivtzau, they go to war and they're not getting any payment. Another understanding is, they're not taking any payback, so to speak. They're willing to die at the sword. Uvaad Hashelach yipolu. They're willing to die at the sword. Lo yitzau, and they don't demand Hashem for payment for that. And then there's the third understanding, our understanding, that they could dance around the sword and they don't get cut. Right? There are multiple understandings in the pasuk, but I have to choose one understanding. I'm trying to go with the simplest one.
The most logical and the simplest, it's like don't they are not cut.
Okay. However, the pasuk could have any one of the meanings, you know.
By context.
The word betza could also mean payment. Betza kesef lo lakachu. Okay. Ba'ir yashoku ba'choma yehutzun ba'batim yalu. They're going to go around the nation making their voices heard. They'll run around the towers, the walls, the fortification of the city. Again, Hashem is mocking the fortification of the city. You think you have walls around your city? I'll send you an army that'll dance on your walls. Ba'il yashoku, they'll make their voices heard around the city. Ba'choma yirutzun, they'll run around the tops of the walls.
They collect it. What is the English collect it?
Clatter?
Yes.
To make noise.
What?
To make noise.
Noise. In the cities they collect it.
Clatter is to make noise. Babatim yalu, they'll go up into people's homes, they'll go through the windows. They'll climb in through the windows like a thief. The land trembles in fear from these locusts. The heavens are trembling from the locusts. Shemesh ve'yareach kadaru ve'chochafim asifu nogam. The sun, the moon, they too have found themselves, so to speak, losing their light. They've turned dark. Shemesh ve'yareach kadaru, they've turned dark. Again, remember the word kedar is also a pot, and a pot could also be synonymous with to turn black. So shemesh ve'yareach, the sun of the moon, kadaru, they became dark as pots. V'chochavim, and the stars, asifu nogam, they've collected their lights. V'adonai natan kolo lifnei chilo ki rav me'od machaneyu ki yatzu mosei devaro. And God has made His voice heard, He's made His sound heard over His nation before His army comes. Meaning Hashem sent the Navi to warn. Hashem sent His voice before His troops attack. Hashem sent the Nevi'im to warn you before the attack, for His camp is awesome. Ki rav me'od machaneyu. His camp is awesome. Ki atzum osei devaro. For the ones who do His word are mighty. Ki gadol yom Adonai v'nora me'od umi yechilenu. For the day of God, the day that God will reckon, God will take us to task, is great. And who's going to be able to withstand that day? And Hashem concludes and says, the final psukim here are probably the meaningful and important psukim that we have to remember after all this warning. And even now, even after I've warned, Hashem says, return to me, listen to me, with all of your hearts, uvtzom uvchi, uvimisped, gather, weep, eulogize, recognize your past errors and return. And the main thing Hashem says, vekiru levavchem ve'al bigdechem, tear your hearts, not your clothes. Very often people express things externally, but there's nothing happening inside. They call a day of fast, and everyone weeps and tears their clothes, but inside their hearts are the same as they were before. Hashem says, V'kiru levavchem. Subdue your hearts to the words of Hashem. V'al bigdechem. I don't need you to tear your clothing. That's not what's important. V'shuvu el Adonai Eloichem. And when you'll accept Hashem's rule, then return to Hashem. Ki chanun v'rachum hu, erech apayim v'rav chesed, v'nicham al hara'a. Because Hashem is compassionate, Hashem is merciful, He's gonna be willing to rethink, to go back on the prophecy for bad. Mi yodea yashuv v'nicham. Whoever knows what he's done wrong should repent and regret what he's done. V'yishir acharav beracha mincha v'nesech l'Adonai Eloichem. And then, even if the locust comes, this man who does tshuva, he will find that after the locust, he'll still have blessing. V'yishir acharav beracha, there'll still be blessing after they leave. Mincha v'nesech l'Hashem Elokechem. And you'll also have enough to bring wine offerings and flower offerings before Hashem. And we'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, next week.